have your Bibles tonight, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5, verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14 this evening. Probably over a year ago, the Lord began to work this verse into my heart. Began to prepare just a few thoughts over the course of the months and the weeks that led up to where we are now. And I'll ask you to stand as we look at this one verse tonight. Scripture says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." I believe God would have us to be interested in that phrase, be patient toward all men. Not some men, not a few men, but all men. Do you know how difficult that imperative is? There's a few referees I probably need to apologize to that I might not have been patient with. Dear DeMont, say amen, or say oh me. Been a few times we've not been patient. This is one of the hardest imperatives right here tonight. And I just pray that we'll get some help tonight. Father, would you touch us as we try to preach the word? Help us, Lord, to look into this portion of thy word and to put Jesus first. And Lord, to humble ourselves in his sight. And God, that you might fill us, Father, with the power of God, with the presence of the Lord. Lord, would you cleanse us of sin? God, would you purge us of these things? Father, would you fill us with your power? Fill us with your presence? Fill us with your spirit? Help us, God, I pray, to be used tonight to preach the word. Pour us out, Lord, I pray, the words, God, that only you can give us. Help us now tonight, God, that we might get help from the scriptures, help from the spirit in our day-to-day life. That it might manifest in our character and in our behavior. Lord, I ask tonight, God, you touch us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It is amazing how nowadays we can go to a microwave and push the buttons 3-0 and start and cook us a nice little meal. It is amazing how you can go down to the ATM and punch in 4 little digits, and it spits out money to you. It is amazing how you can take your cell phone and instant message pretty much anybody you want to, just like that, and they can message you back. It is amazing how you can go out on any app on your phone and get some type of instant weather report. What's it going to do tomorrow? What's it going to do this week? What's going to happen? I mean, I could go on and on, instant everything, and as a result of all this technology and all these things that are instant, 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 we're more impatient. Hurry, Preacher Darren, I'm waiting. I've got to get home. The football game's coming on. Hurry, Preacher Darren. Why do they keep this invitation going? Why do they keep singing that song? Hurry, why does this message take so long? Hear me. We live in the culture of instant gratification, and we want everything instantly. And when we pray, we expect God's going to answer us instantly. He's going to give us instant growth, instant maturity, but it just doesn't work that way. God is not subject to the instant gratification culture. Amen. He does things in his own time. Let's go back to the scriptures. We have Mary and we have Martha, and their brother Lazarus was sick, and they sent to Jesus and said, "Our brother that you love is sick. Will you come?" And Jesus delayed. He tarried. And as he did, when he did get there, 4 days late, Lazarus was already dead. Martha said, "My Lord, this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days already." And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead came out bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. You see, we are bound by time. God is not. He doesn't need this instant gratification culture that we live in. Now, there was a great preacher in New England. His name was Philip Brooks, and he was noted for his poise, and he's noted for his quiet manner. And one day, a friend came to visit him and Preacher Philip Brooks was pacing angrily back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like a caged lion. And his friend said to him, said, "What's the trouble, Pastor Brooks?" He said, "The trouble is I'm in a hurry and God is not." Haven't we felt that way many times? Come on, God, where are you at? Help us out, Jesus. We certainly need to learn to be patient towards all men. Now, I want to go back to a text in the book of James. Patient towards all men. The book of James, chapter number 5. We might take the time to look real quick at chapter number 1. Let's look at James chapter 1 real quick. Let's just take time to see it. Bible 101, James chapter 1. James starts his epistle with patience. Look at verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers." We put an E on the end of that. It's diverse. That means many different temptations. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith," trying. This trying, it's like that you're being, what's the word? If I took tonight maybe a needle and thread and I pierced my fingers, that's going to hurt. Okay? It has the idea, this trying of being pierced, something that's trying you. It may be piercing your heart, piercing your will. Understand, these trials will do that. "That the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, many of us, we need patience. We need patience not just towards all men. We need, be honest, it ought to start with anybody. We need to be patient with our spouse. We need to be patient with our children. We need to be patient with the church members. Preacher, that sounded funny when you said it. It sounded like the truth, didn't it? It's the truth. Fact check it. It's the truth. We need to learn patience. Now, the book of James, chapter 5. In verse number 7, James is concluding. He began with patience. He's concluding with patience. James chapter 5. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is, or draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." I think James points to us three areas that might help us to learn to be patient toward all men. Number one, we need to remember yesterday's provision. Now, the first six verses of this chapter, James deals with rich people, government and authority that are oppressing the poor people, robbing them of their wages, they're socially injustice, they're persecuting them, they're under great pressure, they're suffering, and they're abused. Sounds a lot like the day in which we now live as well. And James, in verse 7, says to that crowd that's suffering wrong, that suffering injustice and suffering wrongly, what does he say? Does he say retaliate? Does he say get a sign and protest? He says be patient, therefore, brethren. Now the word patient is a different word than we saw later in the text. It is the word makrothumeo. You need to write it down. M-A-K-R-O. T-H-U-M-A-O, makrothumeo, thumeo, we get our word thermometer there. It is to control one's passions. It is to keep control of yourself. Don't get so hot under the collar. And the word macro means long endurance. In other words, macrothumeo means control your anger, control your tongue, control your temper for a long amount of time. How long, Preacher Darren? James tells us how long? Unto the coming of the Lord. Oh my, I don't know if I can do that, Preacher Darren. Well, I'm praying he comes tonight. Amen. Hey, he may be coming tonight. So, James is telling us, don't explode. Don't tell people off. Don't snap off. Commit this injustice into the hands of the Lord. And while I'm patient, while I'm trying to not get so hot under the collar, keep walking with God, keep serving God, and keep worshiping God. When I'm being patient, I practice the will of God. I still go to church. I still sing in the choir. Even when I don't get my way. Even when my friends treat me wrong. Even when somebody says ugly to me, I'm supposed to be faithful to the things of God. Now, I think about an example. You're close here. Turn the page to 1 Peter chapter 2. We have an example of patience that we need to look at. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committeth himself to him that judgeth righteously. You and I need to take the trial, the persecution, the suffering, the affliction, the wrongdoing, and we need to take it and give it to God. Amen. To him that judgeth righteously. Amen. That's who we're supposed to give it to. Now, look back at our text, James chapter 5. Behold, verse number 7, the husbandman, that's geoergon in the Greek. What is a husbandman? He's called a earth worker. You and I know him as a farmer. Okay? Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. You and I need to be patient like a farmer. It's a long process from the sowing until the harvest. And when he sows the crop, he doesn't just go back and twiddle his thumbs. Oh, no. There is work to do. He's got to weed the garden. He's got to plow the garden. He's got to work that garden, work that ground, all the way up until the harvest. And we think we're impatient. But, honey, I'm telling you, the farmer cannot shortcut how long it takes the seed to grow and to mature unto the harvest. And neither can you. We cannot hurry the process. His job is to prepare the soil and to sow the good seed. And he waits. There are two rainy seasons, the early rain and the latter rain in the Middle East. They have two rainy seasons. So they have two times to sow and two times that they're going to reap. Will you hear me? I believe the early rain represents a time where the Holy Ghost of God, send the rain, send the fire. Amen. Send the wind. That's what we need to be praying for. And there's going to be a latter rain. And it's happening. It's happening right now in our midst. There's folks being saved. Folks getting right with God. The call of the Holy Ghost is going forward. Jesus is knocking on hearts' doors. Folks are being saved. Folks that you would never expect that are coming forward. I'm seeing it all over. They're getting right with God now. You know why? It's the latter rain. Hey, somebody ought to sing, send the rain. Somebody ought to pray, send the rain. Amen. I've got to calm down. I'll lose my voice. But I'm passionate about it. We need to activate the crop, church. We need to be the farmer. If the farmer has long patience to wait for the precious fruit. You and I must have patience. Hear my voice. Here it goes. Look at verse number 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Just like the farmer's patient, we are to be patient. Oh, but preacher Darren, wait a minute. My situation is different. Oh, it is? Yeah, you have no idea. I have some so-called friends. You call them frenemies. They told me off. They mistreated me. They hurt my girl's feelings. They have upset my little boy. And now he just can't even eat because of what they said to him. And I've got to straighten this out. I've got to fix this. So don't compare me to a farmer. I want to ask you a question. Y'all ever had a garden? Has the weather always been kind to you? Have you planted your crops and the hailstorm came and beat everything down? Have you ever had the wind to tear the whole row of beans and tomatoes down? I mean, the wind is oftentimes going to be against the farmer. And guess what he is? He's patient. And he continues to work. And he continues to serve. And he's patient waiting on God. Hear me. God doesn't need your help in this matter. I want to retaliate. I want to straighten them out. I want to get that little boy. I'm going to get that girl that said, I'm going to straighten their parents out. In fact, hear me. My Bible says, vengeance belongeth to the Lord, right? God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It belongs to him. So, if I don't pass the plate anymore because of COVID, but tonight I pass the offering plate. Mr. Caleb, if you're going down the aisle passing the plate, and if anybody took money out rather than put money in, that means they've stolen from the offering plate. Amen. Wouldn't that be awful to have someone steal from the offering plate? When you take vengeance into your hands and it belongs to God, you've stolen from God. You'll be considered a thief. If you try to take this matter into your own hands, and you're going to fix it, because you know best how it needs to be resolved. You better have some patience. You better wait on God to get involved in this situation. Amen? Now, the Bible says, establish your hearts. That means, establish means to build a wall. To build a wall that the world and the devil can't get in. And that you can't get out. Amen. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It is closer tonight than we think. One night, Grandpa went to bed, and his grandfather clock malfunctioned. It struck 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 times. And he jumped out of the bed and said, alert! Awake! Family, it's later than it's ever been. Church, it's later than it's ever been. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And we must remember yesterday's provisions. Remember how good God's been to you in the past. Remember these farmers, how they must have patience. Here's another one in verse number 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. You need to not only activate the crop, but you need to adjudicate the court. We need to wait patiently like a defendant. You see, the judge, he's waiting to enter into the courtroom. He's standing at the door. I could have Brother Rick stand up tonight and say, hear ye, and have everybody stand as the judge walks in. One day, the judge, the Lord, the righteous judge, he's standing before the door, and he's ready to walk in. Amen. Now, if you knew the judge is right outside the door, and he's going to be judging you, Christians, at the judgment seat of Christ, don't you reckon you ought to be careful with what you say?
and how you behave yourself and how you conduct yourself. The word, listen, grudge is the word stenazo. You looking at me? It means to press. Horizontally, vertically. Vertically, horizontally. It means to be pressed. And when you get pressed and you feel pressure, that's about exactly when you're going to start to complain. To grudge means to grumble. It means to mouth off, to backbite, to gossip, to slander, to quarrel, to take somebody's head off, just to snap at somebody. It means that you're filled with resentment because of your circumstances, and you say, I just had to snap. That's not patience. God wants you to be patient towards all men. That shows that you belong to Him. He was patient to all men. And you and I must be as well. He said, if we're not, we start this mouthing, this grumbling, this backbiting. He says, brethren, lest you be condemned. You see, inappropriate complaining leads to inevitable condemnation. You're going to be judged because the judge standeth before the door and he hears your every word. You're about to go from whining to a whipping. You should have been patient. Tonight you say, well, I was wrong and I'm waiting for justice. Justice may never come in this lifetime on earth, but God will make all things right. Look at verse 10. We need to assimilate the champions. It says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. The word patience is still the same here. It's still the same. Macrothumeo. Let's talk about it for a second. These Old Testament prophets stood while facing persecution and affliction, and they waited patiently and they persevered. They stood in the face of evil. They were often maligned, persecuted, mistreated, ridiculed, rejected, and they were often abused. Moses stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh ridiculed him. And when he would say, I'll do it, change his mind time after time after time. But Moses never popped off anything wrong to Pharaoh. What about Elijah standing before wicked Ahab and wicked Jezebel? And Elijah, the man of God, was patient to preach the word of God and to treat them with dignity and respect while yet warning them from the word of God. Jeremiah stood before his people and stood before the king and faced opposition. They arrested him, threw him in the slime pit. I want you to know he was persecuted and he was a weeping prophet. So much so God said, don't even pray for him anymore. I'm not going to hear your prayer concerning them anymore. Ezekiel went off into captivity and his wife died. And he kept on serving God patiently. Daniel, that young man who was ripped away from his home along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was patient as he stood before Nebuchadnezzar, as he stood before Belshazzar, as he stood before Darius. He was patient. Isaiah was patient. Even to the point that they arrested him, and it would teach us that he was sawn asunder, yet he never opened his mouth against his persecutors and his tormentors. Hosea, think about him. He had the heartbreak of an unfaithful wife. What, preacher? He married Gomer, and she ran around on him. And God told him, Hosea, yes, sir. Go yet love a woman. What? Want you to buy her back. Redeem her. Bring her back home. And he went down the auction block where she was standing stripped naked. Men bidding on her. And he gave everything he had to win her back. And when he gets her off that auction block, can you see her as she says, Hosea, I'm so sorry for how I've treated you. Why would you come and forgive me? Why? I'm so sorry for what I've done. And he throws his robe of regalia around her and says, honey, I didn't come here but to take you home. I came here to bring you home. I came to forgive you. Listen, tonight the Lord wants you to act like Hosea, a friend, a spouse, been unfaithful to you. And it hurts. And you want to mouth off. And you want to have a grudge. And you want to get snappy and snippy. You know how you do. Preacher Darren, I don't like what you're preaching. What about Amos? He faced lies and scorn, yet he stayed true to the call. What about John the Baptist? Preaching the truth. And he said to the king, he said, hey, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. And he arrested him. And the daughter came out dancing. And he was so drunken and filled with lust. He said, ask what you will. And she said, I want the head of the man of God. And you know what the world wants to do to your preacher or to any preacher? They want to silence the preaching of the Word of God. This is not popular, what I'm telling you tonight. This is not the world reacts. This is not what you're taught in our school systems. This is not what you're taught in the halls of education. You're taught to stick up for yourself. Get your leg up on somebody. Put everybody else down and lift you up. But it's not what Jesus is commanding us. Amen? I think about John the Baptist there. As they chopped his head off. And he was true to the very, very end. And later on, when the king heard that preaching, the miracles and the power that Jesus had, he said, is John the Baptist yet alive? You see, here's the thing. You can kill the body, but you can't silence the voice. It's the voice of the Holy Ghost of God dealing with hearts. The voice knocking on your heart's door. That voice calling you said, come and open unto me. And if you'll let me in, I will dine with you. I'll forgive you. And I will save you. Now look at verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job. You have seen the end of the Lord that is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We talk here about the compassion that Job had. And the word moves, patience moves from macrothumeo to hypomone. And we told you that that means that you have a weight. Say it's 1,000 or 10,000 pounds. And it's a pressure that fits on top of you. And that to have patience means that you bear up underneath this heavy load. And you continue to serve. And you continue to sing. And you continue to preach. And you continue to love. Just as you did before. Job, through all those things, was faithful. And he was patient toward a God. You see the acknowledgement. God said he was a man that was a perfect man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. You saw how he had adversity and affliction of his faith. And you saw, amen, how he affirmed his faith. When he said he worshiped. And he said, naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord hath given. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Patient. Not blaming anybody. Not speaking out against them. Praise God. Now, we saw that Job received double blessing at the end of his trial. We also saw that the Lord proved that a Christian can have victory without blessings. Though everything is taken from you, you can still have victory. What a blessing. Well, number two, you can resolve today's patience. Go back to our verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, under the coming of the Lord. We're to wait patiently for the Lord. He is coming back. See if I can get one amen in the house. Amen. The world has, the people of the world enjoys the world so much that they have no concern. They are not interested in the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. In yesteryear, there was more concern about the coming of Christ than ever before. And there's little concern anymore for it. And I'm telling you, the more we see the day approaching, the more excited we ought to be about the Lord's return. You understand, God allows hardships, problems, difficulties, pressures, injustices, sufferings to prepare us for His return. He's trying to strengthen you. Hypomeneo. He's trying to macrothermeo. He's trying to teach you patience to get you and prepare you for His return. The Bible says, When the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will there still be a patient people, a God-loving, God-fearing people? I want to turn to Psalm 37. I'm almost done. Psalm 37. We're to remember yesterday's provision and resolve today's patience. You turn on the news. Now, I can't hardly watch anymore. I watch it. My wife watches that stuff. Lord, have mercy. Pray for me. I don't know how I walk through the house. She's got this news on and that news. And then she'll say, it's almost time for the news. We went from the news to watch the local news. Right? We'd watch the news, and now she wants to watch the local news. And with that over, we want to watch the world news. And bless her heart, she loves the news. And I can't stand it because it makes me angry. And I don't want to be patient. When I watch the news of what's going on in our country, I become impatient. And the Bible said I'm to be patient toward. I have a problem with that word all, don't you? I have trouble right there. There's just some people I just want to get them. I'm not talking about my students either. I'm talking about people that's on the news. Now, Psalm 37 says this, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You see him living hog wild, filled with money and pleasure and doing great. And you're like, how in the world does this happen? And you fear these evildoers and you're fretting for your children. You've got to resolve today's patience. Look what he says in verse 2. For they shall be cut soon. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Amen. You need to have some patience. My favorite verse. Titus chapter number 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we have patience and wait for the Lord, we're to wait for His return. Be patient, therefore. There was a missionary. He'd been on the field in Africa, I think 40 years, and he was coming home. And President Roosevelt had just come home from a big hunting trip. And everybody was gathered there at the dock to welcome the president home. And they're waving flags, Mr. President, Mr. President, Mr. People didn't even know him. People probably didn't even vote for him. But they're down there, what's the president? I'm Mr. President. And so when the missionary and his wife, they're on the same ship with the president, they didn't even care that he was on the ship with them. And when they came to the dock, they saw all this fanfare and all these people. And the missionary looked, and there was nobody there to greet them. 40 years they have faithfully served God, and nobody was there for them. Nobody. And the man, he began to mumble and said to his wife, 40 years we have been faithful to the Lord, and there's nobody to welcome us home. And his wife, she looked over at him and she said, it's okay, honey. We're not really home yet. One day, Jesus will come. There will be a welcome into that great city. Hallelujah. So we need to resolve today to be patient. Thirdly, we need to rest in tomorrow's promise. I want you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament, chapter 3. Seth McClellan, I want you to find this verse in your Bible. These verses. I was told to tell this to you and the rest of this church. Habakkuk chapter 3. I want you to turn there with me. Habakkuk chapter 3. You know the book of Habakkuk. Very, very difficult section, because Habakkuk has been pouring out his complaint to the Lord of the hardships and the injustices that are being done to the people. And so he says he's going to go into his watchtower and he's going to wait to see what the Lord will say unto him in chapter number 2. But I want you to read out of chapter number 3. Now, we're resting in tomorrow's promise. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Hear me, honey. He's coming. Now, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Are y'all there? Say amen.
Amen.
Very important you see this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. You see this? Everything is messed up. Nothing is as it's supposed to be. The trials, the hardships, the difficulties, the pandemics, the worries that we have, all those things are messed up. But there's not a period at the end of that sentence. It's a colon. So the thought continues. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Though everything's messed up, I'm going to keep serving God. Though everything's messed up, I'm going to stay patient. I'm going to keep serving Him. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. In other words, He's going to take me to places that I never could have went on my own. You see, there's an ascent here. He's going up. He's not staying where all the mess is. He's going up. Amen. Now, Seth, here we go. Here we go. To the chief singer on the stringed instruments. You know what he's saying? This is what he's saying, son. He's saying, I want you to take it, sing it. In the middle of the hardship, keep singing. I don't care what you face one day, keep singing. Gindelsberger, God bless you, son. Keep singing. Keep serving. Stay after it. Take it. You didn't write it down. Take it and sing it. To the chief singer on the string instruments. Though everything, you hear me, choir? Though you feel like you have nothing to sing about. Though you feel like you have nothing to rejoice about. Though all men, or some men or a few men, they have mistreated you. They have maligned you and ridiculed you and persecuted you. And yes, bless God, you were treated wrong. And God knows all about it. Yet He says, I have allowed this, that you would keep singing. And that you would sing with more passion than you've ever had before. There was an old boy. He loved science and projects and things of that nature. He's out walking in the woods, and he saw a cocoon of an emperor moth. And he thought he'd cut it down and take it back to his house. You know how that ugly old worm goes into that cocoon and turns into a beautiful emperor moth. He brought it back to his house, and he watched it every day so carefully. And finally the day came when there was a shaking and a vibrating and a movement at the bottom of that cocoon. And he could just see inside the struggle of something trying to get out of that cocoon. And he watched, and he waited, and he debated, and he thought. And he went and got a pair of scissors, and he went to the bottom very carefully, down at the bottom of that cocoon, and he just snipped and just cut to make the little hole that the little moth was making, just to make it a little bit bigger so he could get out just a little bit easier. And when he did, out came this winged creature that began to flop and to frail himself around, and quickly, out of exhaustion, he fell over dead to the ground. The man thought he was doing the moth a favor. But you see, God built something into that moth that to exercise and to build strength in its wings and to build strength in its body, it has to go through a trial of working itself out of that cocoon. And the labor and the hardship and the struggle and the pressure that that little creature felt is not meant to hurt it, but it's meant to cause it to have strength and develop its mighty wings that it may fly in the godly atmosphere for the glory of God. But when we decide to take matters into our own hands and we hasten or hinder the work of God, we do dangerous things. This thing that you're dealing with has been allowed of God. And He has allowed it to put it in the devil's face that there's nothing that you and Jesus can accomplish and overcome together. He's allowed it in the devil's face that He's going to give you double for what you've lost. And He's allowed it in the devil's face that you might get strength and that you might fly higher and soar greater than you ever have. And instead, you've become impatient and you've tried to wiggle your way free of it. And now you're becoming a figure that has no strength. You've become uncomely in your attitude and in your behavior. And it's all because you thought you could shortcut the plan of God when He allowed this for you to give you great blessings. And I know you scratch your head and think, I don't understand it. But honey, it's being fulfilled before your very eyes. Be ye patient toward all men. What He's allowed them to take or to say or to do to you is only meant to strengthen you. It's only meant to help you. It's designed to benefit you. Can you see it? If you can't, you need to get a little higher. Get higher. Get higher. And if you will get higher, watch what God's going to do. You go to New York and they have those Thanksgiving Day parades. And there's float after float after float. But if and when you'll get up at the top of that building, you can look down and see the whole parade from the start to the end and every float in between. If you'd get higher and see as God sees, you'd see that God's allowed this for your benefit. Just thank Him for it and say, Lord, give me patience. Help me not to be so begrudging. And I'll be honest with you. I am guilty, sinner number one, to say, I try to wiggle free. I try to fuss. I try to complain. It's in my nature. I'm a bean counter. I like to fix things. I'm done. You stand to your feet. You need to assimilate the champions. You need to activate the crop. You need to see some evidences that God's given to you and see what the Lord's trying to do. I want you to bow your head. Seth, I want you to come. I just want you to play softly. I wonder, is there anybody here? You say, Pastor, God help me. I want to come to the altar. I don't want to ask God to give me strength so that I don't try to shortcut this trial because God's wanting to do something in my life. Is there somebody that you need to come and say, God, help me to have the patience, the endurance, the strength, the ability to continue to deal with this without grudging. Lord, here I come. I'm just being honest. I'm going to go to the altar myself. I went to the altar before I preached, and somehow it's still in there. I feel it while I'm preaching. I'm miserable about it. Miserable. Oh, wicked man that I am. You need to come. Anybody else? Father, tonight, I thank you for your word. And Lord, be patient toward all men. It hits me right in the heart. Because, Lord, the truth is, I'll be patient with some men, or a few men, or select men, but not all. And God, I pray you'd forgive me of that. Lord, you're teaching me. You're instructing me. You're granting unto me guidance. Lord, I see error. I see my fault. I see my wicked ways. Oh, God, that you might forgive me and that you might help me and teach me and guide me. Lord, I ask tonight, Father, that you'd help us, God, to bear up. Lord, help us, I pray, God, that we'd get under the weight, under the load, with the backbone, and God, with you, that we might press on forward through it. God, I know we're getting squeezed this way and that way, but help us, God, to be faithful to the calling and to continue to serve you. Not when it's convenient, not when it's easy, not when everybody's watching, but to do it all the time, Lord, consistently. God, forgive us now of our error and restore us, God, I pray. Lord, we're going to take it and we're going to sing it. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.